spiritualism. Spiritualists make the path to hell most attractive. Spirits of darkness are clothed by these deceptive teachers in pure robes of heaven, and they have power to deceive those not fortified with Bible truth. Vain philosophy is employed in representing the path to hell as a path of safety, with the imagination highly wrought and voices musically tuned. They picture the broad road as one of happiness and glory. Ambition holds before deluded souls, as Satan presented to Eve, a freedom and bliss for them to enjoy which they never conceived was possible. Men are praised to have traveled the broad path to hell, and after they die are exalted to the highest positions in the eternal world. Satan, clothed in robes of brightness, appearing like an exalted angel, tempted the world's Redeemer without success. But as he comes to man, robed as an angel of light, he has better success. He covers his hideous purposes and succeeds too well in deluding the unwary who are not firmly anchored upon eternal truth. Riches, power, genius, eloquence, pride, perverted reason, and passion are enlisted as Satan's agents in doing his work in making the broad road attractive, strewing it with tempting flowers. But every word they have spoken against the world's Redeemer will be reflected back upon them and will one day burn into their guilty souls like molten lead. They will be overwhelmed with terror and shame as they behold the Exalted One coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then shall the bold defier who lifted himself up against the Son of God see himself in the true blackness of his character. The sight of the inexpressible glory of the Son of God will be intensely painful to those whose characters are stained with sin. The pure light and glory emanating from Christ will awaken remorse, shame, and terror. They will send forth wails of anguish to the rocks and mountains. Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him who sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Spiritualists claim superior light and power. They have opened the door and invited the Prince of Darkness in and have made him their honored guest. They have allied themselves to the powers of darkness, which are developing in these last days in signs and wonders, that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Spiritualists claim that they can do greater miracles than Christ did. Satan made the same boast to Christ. Because the Son of God had linked himself to the weakness of humanity, to be tempted in all points, like as man should be tempted, Satan triumphed over him and taunted him. He boasted of his superior strength and dared him to open a controversy with him. Spiritualists are increasing in numbers. They will come to men who have the truth as Satan came to Christ, tempting them to manifest their power and work miracles and give evidence of their being favored of God and of their being the people who have the truth. Satan said to Christ, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread." Herod and Pilate asked Christ to work miracles when he was on trial for his life. Their curiosity was aroused, but Christ did not work a miracle to gratify them. Spiritualists will press the matter to engage in controversy with ministers who teach the truth. If they decline, they will dare them. They will quote Scripture, as did Satan to Christ, "Prove all things they say." But their idea of proving is to listen to their deceptive reasonings and in attending their circles. But in their gatherings, the angels of darkness assume the forms of dead friends and communicate with them as angels of light. Their loved ones will appear in robes of light, as familiar to the sight as when they were upon the earth. They will teach them and converse with them, and many will be deceived by this wonderful display of Satan's power. The only safety for the people of God is to be thoroughly conversant with their Bibles and be intelligent upon the reasons of their faith in regard to the sleep of the dead. Satan is a cunning foe, and it is not difficult for the evil angels to represent both saints and sinners who have died and make these representations visible to human eyes. These manifestations will be more frequent, and developments of a more startling character will appear as we near the close of time. We need not be astonished at anything in the line of deceptions to allure the unwary and deceive, if possible, the very elect. Spiritualists, quote, prove all things, but God has, for the benefit of His people who live amid the perils of the last days, proved this class and given the result of His proving. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Even Him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. John, upon the Isle of Patmos, saw the things which should come upon the earth in the last days. Revelation 13:13 and 16:14. And He doeth great wonders, so that He maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, who go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The Apostle Peter distinctly points out the class which will be manifested in these last days. 2 Peter 2:10-14. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. God in His Word has placed His stamp upon the heresies of spiritualism as He placed His mark upon Cain. The godly need not be deceived if they are students of the Scriptures and obedient to follow the plain path marked out for them in the Word of God. The boastful spiritualist claims great freedom and in smooth, flowery language seeks to fascinate and delude unwary souls to choose the broad path of pleasure and sinful indulgence rather than the narrow path and the straight way. Spiritualists call the requirements of God's law bondage and say those who obey them live a life of slavish fear. With smooth words and fair speeches, they boast of their freedom and seek to cover their dangerous heresies with the garments of righteousness. They would make the most revolting crimes be considered as blessings to the race. They open before the sinner a wide door to follow the promptings of the carnal heart and violate the law of God, especially the seventh commandment. Those who speak these great swelling words of vanity and who triumph in their freedom in sin promise those whom they deceive the enjoyment of freedom in a course of rebellion against the revealed will of God. These deluded souls are themselves in the veriest bondage to Satan and are controlled by his power, and yet promising liberty to those who will dare to follow the same course of sin that they themselves have chosen. The Scriptures are indeed fulfilled in this, that the blind are leading the blind. For by whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. These deluded souls are under the most abject slavery to the will of demons. They have allied themselves to the powers of darkness and have no strength to go contrary to the will of demons. This is their boasted liberty. By Satan are they overcome and brought into bondage, and the great liberty promised to those they deceive is helpless slavery to sin and Satan. We are not to attend their circles, neither are our ministers to engage in controversy with them. They are of that class specified whom we should not invite into our houses or bid them Godspeed. We have to compare their teachings with the revealed will of God. We are not to engage in an investigation of spiritualism. God has investigated this for us and told us definitely that a class would arise in the last days who would deny Christ, who has purchased them with his own blood. The character of spiritualists is so plainly described that we need not be deceived by them. If we obey the divine injunction, we shall have no sympathy with spiritualists, however smooth and fair may be their words. The beloved John continues his warning against seducers. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. In Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, he exhorts to be on guard and not depart from the faith. He speaks of Christ's coming as an event to immediately follow the work of Satan in spiritualism in these words, "Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." In the epistle of Paul to Timothy, he foretells what will be manifested in the latter days. And this warning was for the benefit of those who should live when these things should take place. God revealed to his servant the perils of the church in the last days. He writes, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." The faithful Peter speaks of the dangers to which the Christian church would be exposed in the last days, and more fully describes the heresies which would arise and the blaspheming seducers who would seek to draw away souls after them. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Here God has worked out for us the proof of the class mentioned. They have refused to acknowledge Christ as the Son of God, and they have no more reverence for the Eternal Father than for His Son, Jesus Christ. They have neither the Son nor the Father, and like their great leader, the rebel chief, they are in rebellion against the law of God, and they despise the blood of Christ. we may rejoice in every condition of life and triumph under all circumstances because the Son of God came down from heaven and submitted to bear our infirmities and to endure sacrifice and death in order to give to us immortal life. He will ever bear the marks of his earthly humiliation in man's behalf. While the redeemed host and the pure angelic throng will do him honor and worship him, he will carry the marks of one that has been slain. The more fully we appreciate the infinite sacrifice made in our behalf by a sin-atoning Savior, the more closely do we come into harmony with heaven. We have characters to form here. God will test us and prove us by placing us in positions to develop the most enduring strength, purity, and nobility of soul with perfect patience on our part and entire trust in a crucified Savior. We shall meet with reverses, affliction, and severe trials, for these are God's tests. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge his people as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. The cross of Christ is all covered with reproach and stigma, yet it is the hope of life and exaltation to man. No one can comprehend the mystery of godliness so long as he is ashamed to bear the cross of Christ. None will be able to discern and appreciate the blessings which Christ has purchased for man at infinite cost to himself unless they are willing to joyfully sacrifice earthly treasures that they may become his followers. Every self-denial and sacrifice made for Christ enriches the giver, and every suffering and reproach endured for his dear name increases the final joy and immortal reward in the kingdom of God.